Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. And I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Wednesday, June 21st. Today happens to be the birthday of Gabriel Rickard. And I hope Gabriel has a happy birthday today and is blessed of the Lord. We'll remember him in our prayers today as well. Also, today happens to be the first official day of summer. You can feel it in the air. The last few days have been a little bit warmer, and we're grateful for the Lord's blessings. I enjoy this time of year. Trust you do as well. It's time to get out and do some work in the yard and work around the house. It is a blessing. Amen. Stays daylight longer, gets daylight quicker. I'm telling you, long days of summer, and we've got a lot to thank God for. Amen. But today also happens to be time for midweek prayer service, so I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you to come out and be with us here at the Island Ford Baptist Church, very easily located at 1415 Island Ford Road, right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, off Pennyrile Parkway, or now I-69 at exit number 116. And if you're traveling north, you'll take that exit 116 and turn to the right. And you'll find us out here about a quarter of a mile or so, half mile or so, on the left. And then if you were traveling south, of course, you'd turn to the left at the top of the exit. And then you would find us here on the left as well. All right. Well, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and ask you to pray along with us. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for strength and health, opportunity to be able to make these broadcasts and play them over the air on WSOF and WAJJ Radio. Thank you, Lord, for our faithful listeners. Thank you for the encouragement that we hear now and then from different ones that tell us that they're listening and they enjoy the preaching and the Word of God, the songs. Lord, it is a blessing, and we appreciate that. I do thank you, Lord, for helping Mrs. Hall. Pray you continue to do so. Give her strength day by day. And Lord, help her as she recovers at home there. Her and Brother Hall, be with them and meet their needs. Thank you, Lord, for helping my mother. Lord, I pray that you would touch her as well. Lord, thank you for helping my father-in-law through his biopsy yesterday. Now, my mother-in-law had a PET scan today, and they did find a mass in her lung. And Lord, they're going to be lining up something there to do about that here in the near future. I pray that you'd help my mother-in-law, Mary, and Lord, you'd meet her needs as well. Be with my wife as she's concerned over these things, of course. And Father, I pray you just meet these different needs. Please meet with us tonight here in the house of God. Lord, I pray that you would see fit to dwell among us, see fit to move among us. We'd see sinners saved, saints strengthened, and the glory of God here in the house of God. Father, I do pray that you would bless now the broadcast. Lord, I pray that you would use it for your glory and your honor. Lord, I pray that some sinner might be saved, and the saints, as we said, might be strengthened in our faith, and our faith life for thy glory and for thy honor. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Mrs. Woodard and her girls as they're traveling. Be with them, keep them safe. Lord, I pray. Father, help our missionaries and those there. Lord, I do pray for Victor Stevens. Lord, I don't know him personally, but a young man that's from Papua New Guinea and in Bible college up at Marietta Bible College and having some physical problems. Father, I pray that you'd be with him and help him through this time, and that you'd just meet the different needs. Again, Lord, I pray that you'd see fit to meet with us here on the broadcast. Use it for your glory. And Father, you get the honor and the praise, and help us tonight in our services as well. We ask it all in Jesus' lovely and precious name. Amen and amen. Well, I do appreciate you praying with us. We're going to get ready now to look into the Scriptures. Hebrews chapter number 11, dealing with faith, with Abraham's faith specifically, again this week. But before we go to the Scripture, we're going to get a song here by our family. This is an a cappella song. Our children singing a good old song entitled Farther On. Trust this will be a blessing to you. Our Bible reading for this week is found in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 17 through 19. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Well, as you know, we're looking again at Abraham here in Hebrews chapter 11. This is our second look at Abraham. The first one took us 2 weeks to cover the fact of the calling of faith that was in Abraham's life. Now we're looking at the commitment of faith that was evidenced, I believe, in Abraham's life. As we looked at this, I mentioned to you that there are several points that I want to bring out, and we covered only the first one on the last 2 days' broadcast. We called it the probing of faith, looking at the first seven words of verse number 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried. And we looked at the fact that his tests were regular. One after another, God tested Abraham's faith. And then we looked at the response to the test. Abraham did not pass all of his tests. He didn't make a great grade on all of his tests, yet he did not stop. He continued to go on, and that's our job as well. Then we went on to the reason for the test and the fact that God's not interested in embarrassing us. He's not interested in making us ashamed of ourselves, but he is interested in showing us our lack and our need for improvement in our life and increasing our faith and improving our service. And that's what the test is for. And then we finished up yesterday's broadcast with the rigor of his tests and the fact that they got more and more severe as things went along. And we brought out how that in a regular school, that's exactly the case. Kindergartners are not expected to pass the same test that a senior in high school would be expected to pass. And so the severity of the tests continue to strengthen. That's what it is, I believe, in our life as well. Well, today I want to move along and deal with a few more of these. Not only the probing of faith, but I want you to notice the piety of faith. So as we move along in verse number 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, and I want you to notice, offered up Isaac. Amen. The piety of faith. This, I believe, shows us a demonstration of worship. He actually worshiped God, glorified God in this offering up. You do know that giving in offerings, whether it be money or whether it be time or whatever, that is an act of worship. Amen. Now, in the Old Testament times, when men worshiped, they built an altar. They offered a sacrifice. And this report that we see here in Hebrews chapter 11, again, is Abraham with his commitment of faith. Abraham, we see him worshiping God, I believe laying prostrate before God. In other words, laying flat out, giving all he had and living by faith. That's the way worship ought to be. That's the way living by faith ought to be. Amen. Totally casting all upon the Lord. Well, as we looked at this, I mentioned to you about how that faith worships. Amen. Faith believes God and worships God. Some people talk about their faith, and yet they don't have very good worship habits. They say they're men of faith, and yet they're not men of church attendance. They say they're women of faith, and yet they're not women of church attendance. They don't sing in the choir. They don't sing specials. By the way, those are not acts of entertainment. Those are acts of worship. Amen. They don't give in the offerings. They complain and grumble about having to go to church or having to give in the offering. Those are not acts of worship. I believe them. They are actually demonstrating a lack of faith. Amen. Their faith is nothing to talk about. It's nothing but talk. Well, Abraham had an excellent worship habit, and that's because he had an excellent faith. Amen. And we see it right here in this particular picture that we're looking at here in verse number 17. Those two words, offered up. By faith, Abraham offered up. Amen. He's given his worship. Now, I want to bring out 3 points in that, if I can, on today's broadcast. 3 points about Abraham's worship. I want you to notice the distance in the worship, the distraction in the worship, and then the donation. And these, I believe, will teach you some good lessons about worship and the fact that faith will worship. Now, don't you notice the distance? If you'd read in Genesis 22, the account of the sacrificing up of Isaac, we learned that Abraham was told where the sacrificing was to be. He was told where the worship service was to take place. It was not a place of Abraham's choosing. Amen. I see these signs every now and then that say, go to the house of God of your choice or attend the church of your choice. Friend, I don't believe it ought to be your choice. I believe it ought to be God's choice. Amen. He chooses the place. Amen. He chooses the place. this place that God chose was a considerable distance from Abraham's house. In fact, he had to travel 3 days' journey. I chuckle a little bit. Abraham had to travel 3 days to go to the place God told him to worship. And we've got people that complain because they have to drive 30 minutes in an air-conditioned car. Amen. They complain because they have to drive a little distance to go to worship. God told Abraham to go, and his going was not in an air-conditioned vehicle. It was probably with a donkey and some servants. We know that. We know those were there. It was probably a lot of walking. It was probably a hard, a very much effort involved in this worship. And yet Abraham did that very thing. Amen. The distance in Abraham's worship. Abraham, I'm saying, friend, had to put forth some real effort in order to worship where and how God told him to do it. Amen. Now, he was going to have to give a considerable amount. Amen. Not just do a considerable amount, not just put forth a lot of effort. It's going to cost him very dearly to make up this matter of worship as God told him to do. Amen. Friends, many folk today fail in regards to worship. They're not willing to put forth the effort. Amen. You notice when you go to church, you notice how sloppily people are dressed. And I'm not fussing about the fact that people don't have any better, but I do believe when you go to the house of God, you ought to do your best. Amen. I don't believe you ought to look like that you're going to a ball game. I don't believe you ought to just go in just like you'd be going, you know, shopping perhaps. Matter of fact, there are some people that put more effort in their apparel when they are going shopping than they do seemingly when they go to the house of God. You look around at how sloppily they dress, how casually, that's the word to look at. And you know why they're casual? The word casual means there's not much effort put into it. There's not much devotion put into it. Amen. I'm telling you that there's not much worship taking place. You see how sloppily people come to the house of God, and they didn't take any extra time to get ready for church. They didn't put any extra effort in coming to the house of God. Amen. They're not willing to give much time to worship. Oh, they want to get in and get out. Amen. They want to start, as they say, start on time and end on time. Amen. Brother Gene Mathias said we got a lot of drag race Christians. They drag in at the last minute and race out at the first opportunity. Well, I'm telling you, we're living in that day. Isn't that right? A lot of people in church are clock watchers. One preacher said they're clock-eyed. Amen. Now, they're looking at the clock. Why? They can't give God much time. They don't have time to give God much time. Even on the Lord's day, they look at it as it's their day. And they've got so much planned. Amen. They're interested in what's on the television more than they are on what's going on at the house of God. They're more interested in what's going on the ball field than they are what's going on at the house of God. They're more interested in what's going on at the restaurant and getting a good place in the line and a good seat in the diner at the restaurant. God help us. Something wrong with that. Or you listen. You know I'm right. Amen. You know I'm right. Listen, friend, if what I'm saying is hitting you, I'm not angry at you, but I want you to look at yourself. I want you to observe how much are you actually worshiping God. Or is your belly your God? Is your enjoyment, your entertainment, your activities really your God? Rather than going to the house of God seeing what God has to do or God has to say. Amen. Many people, if the message, the sermon from the pulpit goes past 12 noon, I'm telling you, they are all out of shape. They're ready to go home. Amen. And if they can, they'll say something about it. They'll complain. They'll grumble all the way home. You know why? Because they missed their favorite television show or their favorite sports activity in that afternoon. Amen. Now, if the game goes into overtime, they're all excited about that. Matter of fact, they can be late for church because the game went into overtime and the game took precedence in their life. Something wrong with worship. Worship headed in the wrong direction. Amen. By the way, that's one of the reasons why I'm convinced a lot of these quote-unquote stars, you know, on the ball field or stars in Hollywood have become idols, actual gods being worshipped rather than the true and living God that ought to be worshipped. Amen. Can I tell you this poor attitude about worship discloses, I believe, a lack of good, honest faith in that person's life. Abraham had a great worship. Why? Because he had a great faith. He had an excellent worship because he had an excellent faith. Abraham did that, friend. I talked about the distance of his worship. I want you to notice the distraction of his worship. He didn't just have to offer up anything, but he had to offer up Isaac. Now, I want you to think about all the way Abraham's going, those 3 days' journey, headed to Mount Moriah to offer up his son. Don't you know his mind was not only on the fact that he's going to build an altar. His mind's not only on the fact that he's going to build a fire, but his mind's on the fact that he's going to have to offer up his only son. Abraham carried a heavy burden to his place of worship. Amen. A heavy burden. His pain, no doubt, was great. Amen. No doubt he racked his mind, being perplexed as to why would God ask for such a thing. If ever, now listen, if ever any man had an excuse for skipping that one worship service, you'd have said Abraham had an excuse. And yet he still went to worship. Amen. Now listen, in our life, sometimes we go to the house of God and we have burdens. We have things on our mind that's not conducive to the service. It's not helpful to the service. And yet, can I tell you, if we cannot worship in spite of the distractions, if we cannot worship around and over and above those distractions, it's because we don't have the right kind of faith. Lord, help us. I say, Lord, help me with that. Amen. You remember when David and Bathsheba lost that child? Of course, you know there was sin there, and you know there was sorrow there. But David, the Bible said in 2 Samuel 12:20, that David washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came to the house of the Lord and worshiped. Amen. Don't you know David was sorrowful? Don't you know David was in a time of distress and disappointment, perhaps even despondency and discouragement? And yet he went to worship. Can I tell you, friend, when you're in that place of distress, disappointment, despondency, or discouragement, what you need is to go worship. Amen. Faith promotes worship. I believe worship solves problems. Amen. Worship solves problems. It did for Abraham, but skipping worship does not solve problems. It promotes and feeds the trouble and the problems. Amen. Then I want you to notice not only the distance and the distraction. I want you to notice the donation. He offered Isaac. Oh, my. Can I tell you that worship cannot be done without an offering? It's going to cost you something to worship God. Satan has seen to it that offering time is mocked in our society today. Somebody's sure to say when the church takes up an offering that all the church is interested in is money. Of course, they don't say that at the sports stadium when they gladly pay their tickets to get a seat, when they gladly pay to see the stars. Amen. Oh, no. They're charged bigger and bigger prices for tickets. As a matter of fact, I doubt very seriously if we charge to sit on our seats what they charge to sit on those cement stadium seats. Amen. If we charged what they charge, I doubt very seriously we'd have anybody in the house of God. But they pack out the stadiums, and they don't complain about it. Amen. They don't say anything about the stores that expect money when you come into their stores. Amen. Giving to God, though, has been opposed. It's in a bad category, and the devil sees to that. But I want to tell you, your donation at church says a lot about your faith. Abraham was ready to make a donation when he went to worship. It's not something in a little envelope. It was not something that he could just carry just a little bit. I'm telling you, Abraham had a large donation. I want you to notice the size of it and then the sacrifice of it real quickly as we running out of time. The size of Abraham's offering was enormous. Isaac was his only begotten son, as it says here in Hebrews 11:17. Now, we know that Abraham had another son, Ishmael, but he was not counted. That's not the son of promise. This was the son of promise, Abraham's only son by Sarah, which was God's way that it was ordered to be. Amen. Yet Abraham, though this was his only begotten son, Abraham was willing to give his son as an offering. Now, why was he willing to give such a huge and costly offering? Well, it was because he had faith. It was by faith that Abraham offered up Isaac. Can I tell you that the size of your offering might say a whole lot about the size of your faith? Amen. Miserly giving is not faith given. Amen. Where there is much faith, the offering will be larger. Amen. The reason why fundamental churches today give more per capita than the apostate churches in the mainline Protestant movement is because fundamental churches embrace that faith is there, and the mainline churches They don't do that. Amen. They have an unbelief and mock many times belief in the miracles and the things that we believe by faith. Amen. Let me say real quickly, not only the size of the donation, but the sacrifice he offered Isaac. Again, a large thing, but something so precious to him. Can I tell you that faith determines not only the size, but the sacrifice that you're willing to make. Amen. Some people may give thousands, and yet it's not a sacrifice to them. Amen. Amen. You remember the woman, the widow, that gave her two mites? Our Lord spoke of that. That was a sacrifice to her. Amen. Abraham now, in this text, Hebrews 11:17, was given up his most cherished possession. What he had waited on his entire life. 100 years, Abraham had waited on this. And now he's ready to give it up. Not just a son, but all the seed that followed, the descendants to the Messiah. Amen. I want to tell you, faith does not only give a tithe. Faith does not only give an offering. Faith gives a sacrifice. Faith is what caused Abraham to give sacrificially. Well, I have run out of time. I do appreciate you listening. Until this same time tomorrow, may God bless you, is our prayer.